Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and I'm back with stories of just great stories. But welcome.
Have you seen that vigilante man?
Hey!
Have you seen that vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? I've been hearing his name all over the land.
Well, this week on Bughouse Square, it's we got Halloween's upon us, so we got dark and disturbing. Dark and disturbing things that we can get into. And then, I don't know, just about going home and how you can't go back home.
Sleeping just as still as a mouse. Man come along and chased us out in the rain. Was that a vigilante?
And you know what? I would be
stormy days.
It would be a bad thing. Remiss? Is that the word? If I didn't mention that. I've got a friend coming in, Paul. And he's fancies himself a singer-songwriter. And he's going to come in and grace us with a few tunes, maybe talk about growing up in the old country. And so we got that to look forward to. So stick around. We've got 2 hours. I got a shit ton of good music, too. So there's always that.
And he said, unite all you working men. Killed him in the river. Some
kill him!
Man was that a vigilante man. A vigilante man. Why does a vigilante man carry that sawed-off shotgun in his hand? Would he
shoot his brother and
his
sister?
Brother and sister down. I rambled around from town to town. I rambled around from town to town. And they herded us around like a wild herd of cattle. Was that the vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? I've heard his name all over the land.
Given you will then, I will try. faces. I've come to hate my body and all that it requires in this world. Candy says, I'd like to know completely what all the so discreetly talk about.
Yeah, I'm coming back on that one. That's this is Bughouse Square. This is Radio Valencia. Thanks for doing what you got to do to do. Paul's in the house. We got this thing, so we're going to get that going. I missed last week. I was traveling. I got all kinds of stories that I'm probably not going to tell any of them. And then that last song, of course, if you're a regular listener, you would know that it was Blindfolded and Led to the Woods, a band that 2 weeks ago they were playing next door, and they came in, and I got the record. It's called Rejecting Obliteration, and I think that's sound advice. We had Lou Reed in there on the Velvet Underground. Actually, that wasn't even Lou Reed singing, I don't think, on that. Candy Says from the Velvet Underground. I think this is her second record, maybe. I got like, yeah, I got a real, yeah, but it works. It still plays. David Bowie from the Aladdin Sane. We did another Lady Grinning Soul. Good one. Paul is nodding in approval. Fantastic. Let's see. Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare, the title cut we played, because it's, you know, we're kind of doing a little Halloween thing, Day of the Dead thing, and of course the opener, Woody Guthrie. We got Paul here. I mean, you know what? Let's just do it. You're like strapped on, ready to go. We haven't even like said anything, but let's just do a song, man. Do this.
Well, let's do a kind of Halloweeny Day of the Dead murder ballad.
Yeah,
I have a song called Headless Body in a Topless Bar.
Headless body in a topless bar. All right, here we go. Paul, I don't know if you want to give your last name, and they may be after you. I'm not sure. Trees.
It's Griffiths. No, it's fine. You can give my last name. Paul Griffiths.
And I'll get it. If I'm like, God damn, Paul, that was like really good. I just like to totally tap into your whole world of music. How would I do that?
So I have a residency at the Right Spot every second Thursday between 8 and 10, usually. So they're over there on 17th and Folsom. I play every week.
Residency.
Once a month, sorry. A residency, yeah.
Is it a count? Does it have to be once a month?
A monthly residency, not weekly. And I also have a residency up at the...
What is that? Is that just you, or you got a whole band together?
It's usually me, an upright bass player, and lately, Dinah Greenberg on violin, fiddle, whatever.
Oh, that's a nice combo. Yeah. I love that combo.
And actually, I was thinking at one point bringing those guys in here, but anyway, maybe...
Well, you can just try this out and see, you know, you may be just like, nah.
And then the other thing, the other shameless plug, is I play the first Thursday up at the Lucky Horseshoe as well, but that's usually with my... Pogue Celebration Band.
Okay.
The 10-piece Bogues.
Yeah, what are you? You're like the Rotten Teeth, or what's the name of your act?
We're just called the Bogues, actually.
Oh, the Bogues.
We used to be called Brandy of the Damned, but now we're just called the Bogues.
All right. Right on. Okay. So, and this one more time on the name of this song.
This is called Headless Body in a Topless Bar. Strapless sandal, there was a backless dress. There was a lifeless body, it was a holy mess. Was this some senseless drunk's mindless crime? Or the heartless act of an unhinged mind? 'Cause on a moonless night, out walking lonely street, that's when a penniless dancer met a faithless priest, and then a clueless cop in an unmarked car found a headless body in a topless bar. And when the faithless priest met a faceless judge, they did a flawless dance, but that judge won't budge. Is on a moonless night, out walking lonely street. That's when a penniless dancer met a faithless priest, and then a clueless cop in an unmarked car found a headless body in a topless bar. Members of the jury, in summation, there was a strapless sandal, there was a backless dress, there was a lifeless body, it was a holy mess. They did a flawless dance, no one confessed, but in the topless bar, still a bloody mess.
Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, swiftly go the days. Sunrise, sunset, you wake up then you undress, it always is the same. The sunrise and the sunset, you're lying while you confess, keep trying to explain. The sunrise and the sunset, you realize then you forget what you've been trying to retain. Sings a vision of her body as she stretches out on your bed. And she raised her hands in the air, asked you, when was the last time you looked in the mirror? Cause you've changed. Yeah, you've changed. Sunrise, the sunset, you're hopeful, then you regret, the circle never breaks. With a sunrise and a sunset, there's a change of heart or address, is there nothing that remains? For a sunrise or a sunset, you're manic or you're depressed, will you ever feel okay? For a sunrise or a sunset, your lover is an actress, did you really think she'd stay? For a sunrise or a sunset, you're either coming or you just left, but you're always on the way. Towards a sunrise or a sunset, a scribble or a sonnet, they are really just the same. To the sunrise or a sunset, the master and his servant have exactly the same fate. It's a sunrise and a sunset, from a cradle to a casket, there's no way to escape. The sunrise or the sunset, hold your sadness like a puppet, keep putting on the play. Sunrise, sunset, sunrise and the sunset. Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset, go home to your apartment, put the cassette in the tape deck, and let that fever play. Sunrise. are you airing that?
Yeah, that's Jim Carroll. That was that. That was Jim Carroll from Catholic Boy. I love this Catholic Boy. So I went back to my hometown outside of Chicago, Naperville. And I did a lot of things. But one thing that really that was fun to do was I was raised Catholic, and I went to my grammar school. I went there 8 years, so it was like I was an altar boy there. It's pretty deep history there at St. Peter and Paul.
Yanksy.
And so I go, and it's about 2:30 or whatever, and the children are all being let out from school, and the buses are lined up, and it's like, you know, so I park down the street, you see, and I walk up. And I'm just looking at it. It's like, it's not a good look. And so I get to the school, and I'm like, all right. I walk up the stairs. Most of the kids are out. This is in the junior high portion. There's two buildings. And I go in, and of course, the place is like locked down, right? I don't know what I was thinking. It's like locked down. So I go, like, the lady's like, can I help you? And I'm like, I'd like to see the principal. And so there's another door. She kind of buzzes me in, and it's the principal's secretary. And she's got her, like, kind of head down. And I'm like, hi, I used to go to school here many years ago. And, well, it was 50 years. I did the math. It's like 50 years. And there was, like, nothing. There was, like, no, okay. I go, I don't suppose... take a look around or anything like that. She's like, no, you need an appointment. And I don't know. I was expecting more. I knew I wasn't going to get in, but I was expecting a little like, you know, welcome back. How did this, you know, affect your life? You know,
at least 50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. Okay. But you know what, Paul? The church was open, and I went in, and I went all the way to the front, and it looked pretty the same as old, like, neo-Gothic, really, like, old-school, like, church, you'd think, European kind of thing. And I've long since drifted from the church, but it was like, there's something about it that those doors were open, and I was able to go in there and have, yeah. So what do you got? What do you want to, Paul? Let's talk about you. Enough about me.
All right.
I detect an accent. What's up with that?
Oh yeah, I'm not from the Mission. I'm from Prestia Park. I'm originally from Manchester, but I've been living in San Francisco for almost, well, about 28 years actually.
Okay, let's talk about Manchester a little bit.
Oh, yeah, talk about Manchester.
And
I know nothing about it. I haven't lived there for 30 years, but go on.
Yeah, but I mean, Manchester of your... Since yeah. I went back, so I had all old shit in my head when I went back. And so, of course, none of that... It was all gone. You know, all that stuff was gone.
Yeah.
So, in your head of, like, growing up, what was Manchester like when you were a young lad?
When I was a young lad in Manchester, it was... It was not the Manchester it is today. Like
we don't care about that, man. No. I want to know what it was like.
It was bleak.
Were the beatings regular?
Yeah, the beatings were regular, actually. And if you went downtown Manchester, at that point...
Did you eat gruel? And I don't know, was it like you know, Oliver Twist or whatever?
I just had a bowl of gruel before I came out, actually. What was it like? I mean, it was the centre of Manchester was pretty grim and burnt out and dirty. And
what was your circumstance as a kid? So you got siblings, I know. Were your your dad like a coal miner or what was how did it what was
no,
the
whatever, even better than a coal miner? He was a bookie.
Oh no that, shit! I like real. Bookie, yeah. So he was kind of like a mob dude.
Yeah, well, not quite. No, he was more of a, actually he was a. He did work in a booking in a betting shop. As we call
he knew,
them,
like, so did you? Who did his like? Who leaned on people? Wasn't him, was him? You think he was he the? No, or did he had people to do
was,
that.
It was very highly regulated. I think gambling in Britain became very.
So this was above the table. Then?
Yeah, it was all above the table.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay.
He wasn't running numbers or anything.
Yeah, I remember going there and seeing like you go bet on horses and shit. It was just like a storefront. You go
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it'd be like coming into Radio Valencia. If you're just coming in at this on,
yeah,
on any
in,
high street, there could be like two or three
we're rolling
different
them
companies
hot here.
Where you could go and bet on who's going to be the next pope, when they're going to land on
Mars. Like any kind of thing.
You can bet on the horses, the soccer, the football.
And did your father have an interest in this, or was he just a transactional kind of?
No, my dad was almost a professional soccer player, footballer in the 50s in England, and then he got an injury.
Of course.
And that was the end of his career. And then he kind of found a job that he loved, which was working, you know, in a sports-related industry.
Right.
In the gambling industry.
And I'm sure he knew his football in and out.
Oh, my God, yeah, he loved it, yeah. And he was the sad thing for my dad was he was a Manchester City fan, and until...
and they'd suck, and they never
they were
won.
They were always like...
His whole life, they lost.
His whole entire life, they lost. And he died like 20, 23, 24 years ago.
Sounds like a Cubs fan.
And
man.
Then as soon as he dies, you know, Manchester City become the richest sporting franchise in the world, and you know, can buy any player they possibly want.
I think I'm trying to think. A friend of mine in London took me to, and it was Arsenal and Manchester
United
this place that was. It was in London, but it was like. I remember we went past Brixton. He's like, that's Brixton, like as in the Guns of Brixton. You know, as driving to the stadium. And it was like, there were like no seats. Maybe there were some seats, but where we were, it was just tiers that you stood.
Yeah, well, it used to be back in the day. It used to be all standing. And then there were some horrendous disasters at a couple of stadiums.
Well, you could feel the energy was tremendous. And I don't know what you call it when everybody says the same thing in a real like together, like a chant, but they do it, but they're not, it's not like, hey, here we go, we're going to win. No, it's like this, like really like hurtful, not, it could be. Yeah, it's very
very
pointed.
Mean, very mean-spirited.
Yeah, but it was so organized. They just had it down.
Yeah, yeah, no, there's the...
The phrasing,
Paul. There's the funny side of that, because there are, you know, it is amazing when, I'm not that I know, I've hardly been to any soccer matches. I've been to a few.
You're a cricket man or a...
No, well, I'm not... Nothing really. I just like the Olympics and I like the World Cup in soccer, they're the only two things I really kind of follow.
So as a kid, were you an outcast? Were you a sports dude?
No, like, everybody played football, soccer on the street. Every boy anyway. It felt like
So were you like a city rat, or were you like out in the suburbs?
We were a little bit out in the suburbs. Okay. We're like four miles outside of Manchester city centre.
Was there a pub in town?
There was a pub on our estate, yeah. There was a pub.
Was it a nice pub?
There were two pubs. There was the Windmill, which was a little bit nicer than the other pub, which was the Dane Bank.
Oh, all right.
The Dane Bank. But yeah, of course there's a pub everywhere. I mean, that's one of the sad things. One of the sad things of the changing nature of Britain is that a lot of the pubs have been closing down over the last 20, 30 years. They just haven't had...
Well, it was like, that was a place where you could get a meal as well. It wasn't just like...
Like, for lots of little places, it's like the community centre. You know, right. It's like the centre of everything. That and the post office. Yeah.
You bring the family down. I mean, it was like the...
But as I say, I've not lived there for 30 years. What do I know?
I don't know. You know what you knew 30 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, but it has changed a lot. Actually, I went back 2 years ago, and we were going with some of my wife's family.
That's the fire truck.
Let's stay in the centre of Manchester. And I was like, are you crazy? Why would anyone want to do that? We did end up staying in the centre of Manchester, and it was completely transformed. It's like, it's so...
Was it all polished and pretty?
Yeah, it's all polished. All the old buildings have been polished up. All the old mills.
Right.
All the old factories are now like...
So do you remember Manchester
hotels.
As a child being a sort of a bleak place?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was the kind of place where if you went down there and you stayed downtown too late and then you were waiting for a bus, you know, you could easily get beaten up. And it's not like that anymore.
Okay.
You know, and definitely, as a teenager... As a teenager in Manchester in the 70s, you'd get a few beatings for sure.
What got you into music?
Oh my God, what was it? The first band I ever absolutely loved was this band called Status Quo.
Status Quo, yeah.
And they were...
What was the big hit? I can't remember the...
You know, they had a million in Britain. I mean, they did. I think over here they had one at the end of the 60s, which was Pictures of Matchstick Men.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the remake of that, right.
But they had a massive worldwide... Well, was it world? They had a massive hit, which is actually... it's a Creedence Clearwater Revival song, Rocking All Over the World. One of the songs that's not very well known by Creedence. And it's called Rocking All Over the World.
So how old are you when this song was dropped?
15, 14.
All right.
Right before the punk thing happened then. So I was into Status Quo. It was fantastic. They had a really fantastic dynamic stage act where they ran around the stage and did all... It was really energetic. and then punk came along, and then, you know, had to abandon.
That's quite a contrast, right?
Yeah, it was.
Focus more on the music,
yeah.
I guess.
Well,
you know,
there was some similarities, actually. I mean,
it is.
Just the kind of rawness of it and the simplicity of things.
So, fascinated about, in my experience with England, or as I will refer to it as, is that offensive to call it England?
No, not all at right.
All right, so that, here we go. I totally, I'm spacing out. All right, anyway.
But I don't know what's offensive anymore. I'm just about to get my American citizenship after 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to get sworn in next week.
And yeah, you got all the questions. So you all know more than most Americans know about.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So you're going to be an American.
I'm going to be an American.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
so how do you feel about that? Have you sworn allegiance to us?
No, but I will be doing on Monday, hopefully.
Not to me, but...
Unless I say something here.
To Donald Trump?
And I get dragged off the air. Hold away.
All right, we'll keep my my political ramblings to a minimum. You know, I don't want to jeopardize your status. You never know, man. I don't know. Your dad's passed and stuff, maybe.
Yeah, my dad was.
So you're you're playing. You're into this, and then when did you get your first guitar?
Oh yeah, when I was 14, my brother had a guitar that was lying around. It was a nylon string thing, and he was struggling with playing Here Comes the Sun.
Uh huh.
Was that anyway? And he did that for a bit. And
that's
then
a tough song, though.
Then he abandoned. I never really quite learned it. And so there was a guitar. So when I got interested in music, 14, 15, there was a guitar there to bang away on. And then, then my sister had a boyfriend who was in a band, and then he gave me an old guitar, and then that was kind of it, really.
Did you have any mates around you that you could play with from the start?
I actually did at high school. We had a little band that didn't do anything. We had a few rehearsals, and
because when I went back to Chicago. One of the guys I stayed with was my childhood friend, and he learned to play drums when I learned to play guitar, and we had our first garage bands and stuff.
Yeah.
So we were able to sit down and jam.
Yeah.
Again, that was he's so good. And
yeah. I played a lot with my sister's boyfriend because he wanted to demonstrate to my sister that he was a nice guy. So he had this van. So we'd sit in the back of his van and he'd play some chords and then show me them. Then I'd play those chords, you know, for 3 hours.
That's just kind of creeping me out a little bit.
I know.
Yeah, and then the band. Yeah, and then it was like, you did a really good job on that one, Paul.
The house. He'd be getting those down. Yeah, he'd be playing these things. I'd be playing these things for 3 hours, and he'd be like noodling over the top. So it
looking in your eyes, I had it at once. The guy would make me play three songs, he's like shredding, like looking me right in the eye. I was just like, this is kind of creepy.
That sounds a bit like the David Sedaris guitar feature.
Oh man, yeah. I guess it's a thing.
Yeah.
So you got it, and then when did you? Has music saved your life?
It's been a constant in my life, you know. It's definitely been a...
Has it saved your life? Answer the question. No, I'm kidding. Because it saved my life. I felt like before music, there was like a weird insecurity and just unknown. And then after music was like, yeah, I can do anything. I've got music. I can go in any direction.
You know, it's definitely been a big part of my life. It's been dead for 50 years, really. Yeah.
So with that in mind, you play me the song that means the most to you right now.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know. That's a tricky one. I'm going to play one of my songs.
Play whatever you want,
I'm going to play this song. It's a song that I wrote with a guy called... I should put my headphones on, right?
Yeah.
Do I need those?
I got mine on.
All right.
It's all right.
It's a song
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you don't... Take them off.
There you go.
This doesn't...
Take everything off.
I got mine off.
Take everything off. This is radio.
Do it, man. Take the hat off. Use the shirt, man.
Anyway, this is a song I wrote with a guy called Maurice Tanney, who's a fantastic songwriter.
All right.
And a guy called Ken Owen. And it's called Fields of Green. It's on my CD. That night that I left, I could see my breath by the light of a thousand stars
blinded by dreams, wild tomcat schemes. I bid thee my fondest farewell, fare thee well. Lost were your blue sky days, lost were your fields of green. For something I swore I'd seen in a dream, in a dream. My travels were long, behind me was gone, with one more horizon to go, always one more. But as far as I went, I was never content with the things that I found out there, grasping at air. Lost were your blue sky days, lost were your fields of green. For something I swore I'd seen in a dream, in a dream. Yours was the breath I saw on my neck, lips on my cheek, the lover's touch I seek in the morning. That night, black as coal, I drifted back home by the light of a thousand stars, I was wrong, you were right. There's beauty in your night, and the things I could not see, now I see. Home in your blue sky days, home in your fields of green, like nothing I'd ever seen in a dream. In a dream. That night that I left, I could see my breath by the light of a thousand stars.
Oh, let's get up and let's get excited. It's a public party and you're all invited. Let's cut the custard, see the mustard. These austerity, we're maladjusted. Sing boobity boo, sing twiddly dee. Invite the Germans home for tea. Sneer. The wise young crackpot knows no fear. The emancipation that's sweeping the nation when it seemed like the world was sunk. You can bet your boots on your own pursuits. History is bunk. From Rosemary Cooney to Jerry Lee Lewis, with the bush to the loneliest monk. It's the modern art for the human heart. Shape of things to funk. Funk, funk. Let's see you do it, you always knew it. Don't you be impossible to miss, go do it. Inside the fact. Living is an act of animated passion. Pay no attention to the bones of contention, to the new age boogie for the old age pension. Let them scoff and let them scorn. We'll get mad that we were born. Motivation is the new sensation. That is, he keeps you bent on the human assumption. You've got the gumption. Get up and do your bit. Being daft is a therapy craft which sharpens up your wits. Totally enthusiastic about the music, and it shows in the place you sit.
Sweeping the nation. is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. But the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring.